Factor Radio.
We're grooving here on Dr. Radio. Welcome back to Samantha Heller's Health and Nutrition Show here on Dr. Radio, Sirius XM 110. Jessica says I can't talk like that anymore. We're here in the heart of NYU Langone Health. That was my like NPR WPLJ from 1,000 years ago, Allison Steele voice, if any of you even remember. Do you remember? Yes, you remember Allison Steele?
Oh my God, Allison Steele, yes.
Yeah. So anyway, welcome back to the show. So happy you're joining us today. You are in the right place for your health, wellness, medical information. I have a little cold, so I could talk with my little Tallulah Bankhead voice today, so I was taking advantage of that. In studio with me, I have the amazing Dr. Keith Ayoub. He's a pediatric nutritionist, registered dietitian, and he is with me for the whole show today, so I'm so excited that he's here. And you can check out his website, cuttothechasenutrition.com.
Thank you.
And am I going to see you at Fancy? Are you?
Oh yes,
Chicago?
I'll be there.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Also, and that's our big professional registered dietitian nutrition conference every year that happens this year. It's in Chicago.
Right.
But you know, I want to clear up. Some people think that nutrition professionals, somehow we never get sick, we never have a day where we get a headache, and that's not true. We're people.
We're human people.
And I have to tell you, I worked with kids for 30 years, and they all coughed in my face and all that kind of stuff. You do develop an immunity after a while to it. I mean, so you don't get sick anywhere near as much as I did when I first started working there. But every once in a while, it happens because we're human beings.
Because we're human, mostly. So, and speaking of getting sick and wanting to stay healthy, I'd like to introduce my next guest, Carolyn Blazovsky.
Yes.
Thank you, Caroline. You've been on my show so many times. She is a fantastic woman. She really knows her stuff. She is known as America's Healthy Home Expert. She has been investigating homes and working with physicians to improve wellness for over 17 years. She's certified in mold, indoor air quality, sustainable design, healthy homes, public health, and more. And we are going to be talking about how to winterize our homes and stay as healthy as we can be. Caroline, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How are you?
I'm fine. Caroline, this is Keith.
Hi. Hi there. Boy, do I have lots of questions for you. I can't wait.
So, you know, winter is supposedly happening relatively soon. I'm happy it's a little bit delayed, despite the reasons for that. One of the first things I do, and I usually do it in August, but I have to admit I haven't done it yet because the weather has been warm. I haven't been motivated, is to have my chimney guy come and clean my chimneys in my fireplace.
Oh, you and I, Samantha and I have telepathy. Because I was going to talk about chimneys today. Her and I are always on the same wavelength, I think.
So let's talk about that. I mean, I have a wood stove and I have a fireplace, and I just feel like you have to be safe, and I want them inspected every year. And sometimes they come and they say they don't need to be cleaned, and sometimes they both need to be cleaned or one needs to be cleaned. Does everyone have to have their chimneys cleaned every year?
You should.
Yeah.
I was just in a home, you know, the last 2 weeks, and I saw where the house had four fireplaces.
Wow.
And none of them were up to code, which meant that the boxes that the fireplace had been built with had actually been built with plywood. So inside your fireplace where you burn, you usually see that you have cement or stone. Underneath that box, it was actually built with plywood, which is, you can imagine if you're burning something in a fireplace, right, that wood could smolder and burn. So, and also they had an insert put in, and the insert was only 2 feet up into the actual chamber of the fireplace. So they had burnt out their terracotta, and they had a fire inside the fireplace. So absolutely, whether you bought the house, whether you inspected, you need to have this done at least every, 5 years, without a doubt.
If you don't use your fireplace, you're just sort of, you're not a family that uses the fireplace, do you still need to have it inspected every year?
Well, you should, just for the fact that you want to check your cap, on top, make sure you're not getting moisture down in the brick. You want to make sure your flashing's good. Sometimes you have to seal your fireplace because when moisture gets in, it'll start to, especially if you have cracks in the liner of your fireplace, the creosote can go into the cracks and you can start to get odors and things like that. And then you get, animals, critters, stuff. So I would say, even if you're not using it, I would probably inspect it at least once every 5 years.
I had a neighbor who used her fireplace all the time, and someone was driving by their house one night and saw flames coming out of the chimney and knocked on their door to say, your chimney's on fire, and they didn't know it. And then the fire department came and the house filled with smoke, and everybody was okay. And they had to bring in the ServPro people, you know, to clean everything up and the smoke damage. And it's, but that's scary. That could have been a disaster.
Well, that happens when the liner, you have a terracotta, well, people have different things. Sometimes they have stainless steel, but if you have a terracotta liner and then that temperature gets really hot and the fireplace can crack inside, and then that's how you get these fires in the chimney. And that's exactly what happens. It starts to come up the front, the top, and then you can burn, you know, your house can burn down. It's really bad.
So also, if you don't use the fireplace, you know, critters can come and build nests and things.
Exactly.
Oh, boy.
And then if you go to do a fire, you're going to have all kinds
of... You're going to be really sorry.
You're going to be sorry. So,
you
folks...
You need to make sure you have a cap. You know, it's real important to have the cap on the top of the chimney.
We did that. I have to say it was one of the better investments.
Yeah.
You always do that.
And you have to remember, too, not only, you know, a lot of people have their chimney, obviously, for a fireplace, but they also have their exhaust for their furnace going up through that chimney.
Yep. So even if you don't use the fireplace, it's still being used.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we forget that.
Yep. So and that's that should be looked at, without a doubt.
And that's a good point. And for people with wood stoves or pellet stoves, same thing.
Yep.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this time of year, call your chimney sweep. Have them come and clean out your chimney. Inspect it. Inspect the flashing. Check your cap on your chimneys. Whether it's just a furnace that is feeding into it and or a fireplace or wood or pellet stove. Really important to do that. It's not terribly expensive, and it's really worth that investment.
And do it before you have the first fire for the season.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to find out the hard way if something's wrong, because it'll start to stink up the house. And,
exactly. And smoke damage is not easy to get out. Once you smoke up your house and you get all the debris from... You know, smoke, it gets in everything. So it's better to be, if you're using it every year, then you should have it looked at every year.
And my chimney people tell me that I should leave the flue open just to keep the airflow in the chimney.
Yeah, I think over the years, that's a really good recommendation. It helps to keep moisture, you know, you're getting airflow, so you get moisture down in there, you can dry it out, and you don't get mold, and you don't get, you know, just expensive stuff that wears away at the block. And yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it's this time of year. In the northern, you know, sort of latitudes, we're prepping for cold weather and winter. What are, in addition to getting our chimneys checked, examined, what else should we have looked at right now?
Well, you know, I mean, it's common sense, but everybody's got to do filters. You should be having, you know, furnaces serviced as soon as you go into either climate, right? So if you go into the winter months, you want to immediately say, hey, I'm going to have the furnace guy come out and service my furnace. With furnaces, I'll let you get away with every 2 years for a service. If you have natural gas, if you have oil or something else, you should do it more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And then for air conditioning, you always have to be servicing every spring, because you're dealing with condensate, you're dealing with water lines, things that get clogged up with calcium and debris, and then you can have a leak and then also mold. So air conditioning's every year, and then furnaces at least every other year.
And I'm glad you said that, because I just called my furnace people yesterday, made an appointment for them to come and inspect my furnace.
Exactly. You want to make sure your combustibles are burning clean. You know, this can put off a lot of debris. It can irritate your asthma. It can irritate all kinds of, you know, different conditions that people have. You don't want those pollutants going into the house. You want them to be burning clean and exhausting. So.
And also, regular inspections will help your furnace last.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and they're expensive.
I know. I just had to get a new one last year. I'm still paying that off. Also, they check for carbon monoxide.
Correct.
Which is important. And do you believe everyone should have carbon monoxide detectors in their homes?
Oh, absolutely. And what you really want to do, because carbon monoxide detectors are set very high, okay? So basically, when you put one in your home, it's going to be set for an extreme level, that it's going to go off when there's a significant problem.
Mm-hmm.
But what we find is a lot of our clients will be sick on a very low level of carbon monoxide. So what I usually tell people is every couple years, you can call your local gas company, have them come out and check just for minutiae, you know, small little gas leaks that you might not see. Anytime you have natural gas or propane in your house, you should be doing this, because it's highly flammable. If you do miss a leak, you could potentially have a big explosion, so you want to make sure that you're checking it. But every, you know, 2 years, have somebody come out and just run a meter, make sure you don't have any small leaks, because they can make you just as sick as a big leak can. It's just a chronic condition.
And, you know, Caroline and Keith, I'm telling you, Caroline has people coming to her who have asthma, who have fatigue, who have rashes, who have sore throats, and the doctors can never find out what the problem is. They find Caroline, and she goes into their homes, and she finds things like, you know, subtle monoxide leaks, like she's talking about mold and things that are home environmental causes for these symptoms people are having. So Caroline, as I've mentioned to you before, I often mention you to my patients and your website and say, you know, you've been to a bunch of doctors, we can't figure out what's going on, maybe it's in your home.
And also for people who are somewhat housebound, elderly people or people who don't get out mm-hmm. much. And in the wintertime, people often don't get out as much. So you're really cramped inside, breathing whatever's going on there. Mm-hmm. That's a concern. Let me ask you, this is one of those questions I've always wondered about. Ionizers, like air ionizers.
Right.
Yes, no, what's the story about that?
The story is that you don't want to use anything that produces ozone. Ozone will strip the lining of the lung. It's a complete lung irritant. I mean, it can do a lot worse things, but it can also contribute to migraines. I don't recommend them at all. There's some applications where I can be a little flexible. Sometimes when you're using UV light application to deter microbes and viruses and bacteria and things like that, I may permit a little bit of it, but for the most part, I don't use ozone in any capacity and use ionizers.
So the ads for them and saying they're going to change your life are just ads and hooey, and we should just not buy them.
If you type in ozone and lawsuits, you'll see what happened with ozone therapy and how you don't want to be breathing it in. Look, you don't want to have ozone alerts in the air. You don't want to raise a concentration. Also, it can pop. It's very powerful, so it can pop rubberized gaskets and different things in the home from plumbing supplies and can actually cause a lot of damage. So you don't want to be using it, especially with anybody in the house. You could use it in an application where if you want to get smoke smell out or if ozone in therapy works really good to remove kinds of odors, but you cannot have anybody in the house breathing it in.
Folks, this is such great information. Every time you're on the show, my guest, Caroline Blazovsky, is with me right now. She always has such amazing information. She is America's Healthy Home Expert, and you can check out her website, which is Healthy Home Expert and healthyhomeexpert.com. Is that right?
Yep, healthyhomeexpert.com.
And she has great information and kits that you can order to test your home air for mold and things like that, which I love. I always have information that I always take with me and try to write down and try to remember. And we are taking your calls, folks, if you have any questions on how to keep your home healthy. 1-877-NYU-DOCS. That's 877-698-3627. I'm here with Dr. Keith Ayoub and Caroline Blavosky. We are talking about how to have a healthy home in the winter. And we have John from Ohio on the line. Hey, John, what can I do for you today?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Just a question. When I go shopping for air filters for my furnace, I see, anything from a $2 filter to a $30 air filter that, claim to take more allergens out of the air. And, just to be clear, I don't have anybody in my house that suffers from allergies, but I'm comfortable with buying the cheap one. But I just wonder if you think one of the more expensive filters is worth the money, I'll take the rest of the answer offline. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Okay, yeah. So I usually recommend the 1-inch pleated filters that have the allergen. Different companies make them, but I go with the thicker filter, of course, because it does help remove more particulate, more debris. If you can go with a HEPA filtration in your house, even better. Some people install a 4-inch HEPA filter that you can have done by an HVAC company. We definitely see that studies in public health are telling us that, using HEPA filtration is really particularly important for people over the age of 65. Reduction of particulate exposure by filtration basically improves your microvascular function, so it can really help your heart and lungs. So if you can do HEPA in your house, that's great. If not, go with the 1-inch better filter, absolutely.
Great, a very perfect answer, which makes me just, I know that I'm digressing a little, but HEPA filters for your vacuum?
Yeah, definitely always use a vacuum that's got a closed seal system. You don't want this debris and everything blowing back into the house. It's just, if you open up that canister and you see dust outside of the bag, something's wrong with the vacuum. So it should have a sealed system where the bag sort of clicks up and then it's got a rubberized, siliconized gasket. So it's sealed, and when you take that bag out, you don't see extra debris inside the canister. Or you can do the unit with a HEPA filter and then the dumping, where it collects. But go outside. Don't empty these things in the house. Don't open it up in the house.
Thank you for that, because I've seen people do that, and then they
blow all the debris back.
Oh my God! It's like then they have to vacuum again, and you go people, let's go outside and do this.
That's one reason I'm not so sold on the. There's not a lot of studies going on with vacuums, which I wish they would, but. I'm kind of with the canister systems where they capture it and you dump it. I don't know.
I am too.
Complete, you know, I'm not sold on that completely, but.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have one of those. And although, I guess if I don't close it exactly right, I do see some of the dust getting out, and then I clean my whole vacuum cleaner. And then if I do it right, it works. But let's talk about, you know, again, we're back to winterizing our homes. Windows in the winter. I love having my windows open, but of course, I always am always, and my listeners know this, I'm always freezing. So in the winter, I have my windows closed, but I'd like to have them open. What's the story about keeping your windows really closed all winter, opening them? What should we do?
Well, I like to suggest that you put a little crack. I mean, you need some air coming in for ventilation, and then that kind of gives you a little, you know, a little more air quality that is exchanging the air. Or you can go with energy recovery ventilators. I like now that they're making, Panasonic makes it. In a bathroom, you know how you have a typical fan that exhausts air out?
Yeah.
They actually make ERV units now that are built in, so sort of, you know, in your bathroom, it will circulate the air and exchange the air. Just like a fan, you couldn't tell the difference if you went in, but it's actually an energy recovery ventilator, which exchanges your airflow. Mm. I kind of like these things. They're not expensive. You can put them in your bathrooms or places where you want to exchange the air. You know, you really need to be kind of, you know, getting this fresh air.
And so, it has to vent to the outside.
Yeah. Yes, it does. Yep, okay. Exactly.
So in some apartment buildings, you couldn't
have
do that.
It, yeah, right. Yeah. But in homes and stuff where you can have an outside vent, yep, you can definitely do it. And I like it because I do like to have air exchanges. You can also put units, if you have a forced hot air unit, you can put them on the actual furnace itself, because I do like air exchanges. It's important to me.
Oh, that's interesting. So you can have your furnace help with the air exchange.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, another thing also, when we did live in a house, sometimes when we knew we wouldn't be in a room for a while much of the day, leave the window open so there's that crack there, but you don't necessarily have to be in there and freeze.
Right.
But you can get that air exchange. When you come back into the room for the night or whatever, then just shut the window, and you've got good, clean air then.
Exactly. I mean, I crack my windows in the winter with a minute crack. I mean, you're not looking at something that's, you know, quarter inch open, but I do crack the windows because I think it's important to have the fresh air in.
Now, I have a family room in my house, and it's freezing in the winter, and it's got windows on three sides, and I'm not sure what the story is. It does feel like there's air coming in through the wall, but that doesn't count as a cracked window, does it?
No. Well, plus, the thing is, too, when you're pulling air through a basement or you're pulling through walls, you're not getting clean air, right?
Oh, that's so true.
If you have mouse debris, if you have bats, if you have dust, if you have all the stuff that ends up in your cat wall cavities, you don't really want to pull air from there. You want to pull air from an outside source because
it's fresh.
You see
how brilliant she is? I love her. I love this woman. She's so amazing.
Along with winterizing and things, could you say something about pillows?
Oh, pillows. Well, I'm a pillow girl that you change your pillows very frequently. I'd probably, you know, go overkill. But you got to remember, when you're laying on a pillow all day long, 8 to 10 hours a day, okay? And then your dander basically goes into that pillow. And you change it. You got to make sure you're changing your pillowcases. But what's happened with energy efficiency is that these washing machines aren't washing at a high enough temperature.
I
so
know.
In order to kill the mold and dander and
the
dust mites and all the stuff, you've got to be getting that water up over 140 degrees. So what I recommend to my clients is, especially if you have a top loader, stick a thermometer, get a meat thermometer, stick it right in the water, fill it up, and see what your temperature is. If your temperature is not getting over 140, you need to turn that water heater up, because you have to control it from the water heater, not from the washer itself. So that's going to help get rid of a lot of the dust mites. But if you're not drying on a high temperature, washing at a high temperature, you're going to keep that there.
Well, I was just going to say, if you can't get your water temperature up that high, if you dry it at a high temperature, will that help mitigate?
It helps, but it's really
not
the
enough.
Washing.
Yeah, okay.
Really the washing at that 140 and above that gets rid of all the dust mites. So you want to do it. And then with pillows, I change mine very frequently, you know. And I go with a less inexpensive pillow. But, you know, sometimes people have neck injuries and they don't want to do that. But really, you want to change these frequently. You have your head in there, all the dander, everything accumulates, and then you're breathing that in all night long with your face down on the pillow.
I know. I was trying to tell Michael, who, you know, we're just about out of time, Michael, that you have to wash the pillows. He's like, I love these pillows. I've had them for you know, 20 years. I'm like, no. You need new pillows. We have a question for you, Jennifer from Arizona. We're running out of time. Do you have a quick question for Caroline?
Yes, I do. I've actually just been diagnosed with a mold illness, and I'm not sure where I got it, if it was my old apartment that flooded. But I did have a question as far as, like, paperwork, clothing, and furniture. Do I need to get rid of everything that that I had in that apartment?
Good question, what Caroline. We've just got a few minutes.
Really quick, what happens with mold, they do three things. They produce a spore that basically causes allergens. They also produce a volatile organic, and they produce a mycotoxin. If these mycotoxins and things get into your materials, they're hard to get out of, they're very small, and they can continue to cause, you know, immune effects. So, yeah, try to get rid of things that, paper products, anything that got wet, damp, anything that's covered with mold. And you, things that are cleanable, washable, keep those things. You can try to wipe them down with some vinegar and water and try to disinfect them. But you really want to get rid of a lot of the paper products if you can.
If something's dry cleanable, does that help?
Not really. I mean, dry cleaning is more dumping chemicals on your clothing. It's not really working to remove the mycotoxins and things. So I would, you know, try to avoid it. More things where you can wash them at a high temperature and then actually get debris out of them is better.
Good question, Kate. All right, Jennifer, does that answer your question?
Yeah, just as far as the wood furniture, can the mold spores get in? Because I have some antiques and stuff. Do I need to get rid of those too?
I would just wipe everything down. I mean, if you have a certified mold remediator, they'll tell you what to do. But usually hard surfaces, porous, you know, that aren't porous, you can wipe them down with a microbial agent, and then they should be salvageable.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep, no problem.
Thanks, Jennifer. And you can go to Caroline's website, America's Healthy Home Expert, healthyhomeexpert.com, for more information and ask questions, because Caroline will get back to you. Caroline, we've just got about 3 minutes left. Do you have some final thoughts you want to share with us about how to keep our homes and ourselves safe and healthy for the winter?
Well, I mean, basically, we know public health tells us that basically how healthy Samantha or myself or Keith we're going to be, 30% of that is, you know, linked to your environment, your behaviors. So really start looking at your health, trying to determine where you can make changes in your home. It's the perfect time of year to do it. Test for one thing every year, whether it's mold, volatile organics, formaldehyde, chemicals, proteins, whatever it is, do one test a year for your health, for your home, and you're going to be a lot healthier moving forward.
Test for proteins? What proteins?
Proteins can be animal proteins, horse, cat, dog, peanut. A lot of children have peanut allergens. We work and test for homes. It's becoming very prevalent that homes are contaminated with peanut protein, and Dr. Keith would probably understand that. It's a real big problem.
I was actually going to say, like your kitchen is a good place to start. You know, Samantha and I are big on food safety, and food safety is everybody's responsibility. It's not just the manufacturer of the food.
And the proteins with peanuts stay around. They're very difficult to remove. There was a study done in Harvard where they basically looked at all these homes, and they all had peanut protein. So now we've started testing for peanut in the house. We can tell you if you have it, and then basically help you work to remove it. So definitely there's options for.
All right. Caroline Blazovsky, thank you so much for joining me today, Caroline. HealthyHomeExpert.com. Check out that website for more information for a healthy home. You always have such great advice, and she's always coming up with things that I've never heard before.
I'm logging on.
I know. I am, too. I'm having come over. I know you don't live too far from me.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A great weekend. We've got about a little bit of a minute left for this, Keith, and then we're going to take a short break. So, healthy home. Get at least one of those tests she mentioned done every year, because they're not inexpensive. So, mold, proteins, get your furnace checked, all of that. Just a reminder to do that. And you can talk to your HVAC people about that, but also you can go to Caroline's website to find out more.
Absolutely. And I do like a lot of the things that she said about not just getting rid of the negatives, but also improving the positives, so that you keep your windows open a crack. You change your pillows out. You know, changing toothbrushes, people. It's another thing.
Oh yeah,
and,
toothbrushes.
Samantha,
every 3 months or toothbrushes.
Yeah, you and I are foodies. Food safety, people. Don't cross contaminate. You know, keep hot foods hot, keep cold foods cold, and raw foods separate.
And in the refrigerator, how long do you keep leftovers? I have this ongoing argument.
Oh, 3 or 4 days. Although, actually, a week is fair game, but it never seems to last more than about 3 or 4 days. We tend to use it up. I'm a big fan of
3 to 4 days.
Not a lot of food waste.
Yeah.
I don't like a lot of food waste.
And we don't like food waste.
Yeah.
Folks, we have to take a short break. In the meantime, take a deep breath. Drop your shoulders. Relax. Relax your forehead, your hands. Get up. Move your fanny. Drink some water or some tea. And we'll be right back after this short break on Dr. Radio.